Friends, our scripture reading for today comes from Psalm 122. This is a familiar psalm, I am sure, to many of you. And even if you don't know the psalm, you probably know those famous opening words. I rejoiced when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Now, friends, those words aren't simply an invitation to come to church on a Sunday morning, even though as Christians, many of us read these words in that way. Instead, those words are an invitation from a group of travelers, a group of pilgrims, to a friend, asking the friend to join them as they travel from their village toward the city of Jerusalem. And they are traveling there because it is the time of a major pilgrimage festival, one of the big festivals they celebrated in ancient Israel, Passover, Pentecost, or Booths. And we know this because Psalm 122 is part of 15 psalms that is labeled as a psalm of ascent. And all of these psalms, scholars believe, are songs that God's people would sing on their journey from their hometowns to the religious and political capital of their nation in Jerusalem. Now, friends, as I read the psalm today, I invite you to notice how it describes how an individual joins a community and how in community this individual finds gratitude. I will also say before I go into our reading that I have chosen the New International Version of the Bible for our translation because I think it makes more clear some of those communal aspects of this psalm that are missed in some other translations of it. Hear now the word of our Lord from Psalm 122. A song of ascents of David. I rejoiced with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, O Jerusalem." Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord, according to the statutes given to Israel. There stand the thrones for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. Friends, our God is indeed still speaking. Alleluia. Amen. And I invite you to join me in prayer. Dear God, I give you thanks for this opportunity to preach what I hope is your word for these, your people. God, for those of us who have gathered today, help us to understand what it means to be grateful people. Not just individuals who are grateful, God, but people who can come together to experience gratitude because of something significant that you are doing in our midst. And let us not be unchanged by that experience, but let us respond to it and to you with thanksgiving and with praise. We pray all this in the name of the one for whom we have ultimate reason to give thanks, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Friends, as I'm sure all of y'all are aware, I am very aware right now of how hot it is. And so you are going to get sort of the 5 to 7 minute version of today's sermon. There is a longer version printed out, and I'm saying this right now so that those of you listening online also know if you feel like this is only an appetizer and not the full course, there is a longer version of the sermon, but I'm just going to give you all the highlights, and you can meditate upon those and go home and truly think about what it means to be grateful in community. Now, if you've been with us during this sermon series, you know we are talking all about gratitude and different aspects of gratitude as well. We started off talking about a familiar idea that gratitude is an emotion that we feel as individuals, and then we branched out into the idea that gratitude is also something we can do. We can practice gratitude as individuals. And last week, Reverend Jenny got us started on the idea that gratitude is something we can feel in community. And that feeling of communal gratitude helps us to know that we are in this together. We are not alone, but we are united one to another. And next week and the week after that, we're going to talk about communal actions of gratitude. How gratitude is not simply something that changes us as individuals, but that can change our world. And today, friends, I'm going to stay with this topic of communal feelings of gratitude. Because if we're being honest, at least if I'm being honest, it's often difficult to think of times when we have truly been grateful in community with other people. And maybe this is just the case for me because I live by myself. I don't live with a family or even with a pet or anybody else. But I looked it up, and statistically speaking, 30% of people who live in Massachusetts live by themselves. So at least one third of the people I'm talking to right now, statistically speaking, are in the same situation as I am. And so probably most of the time when you feel grateful, it's because you're grateful as an individual. But then maybe you're thinking, well, you know, we have holidays about gratitude, Larry. What about Thanksgiving? Well, let me tell you, I love Thanksgiving. I love cranberries. I love turkey. I love gravy. I love gluten-free cornbread. And I love running in the Dreamcatcher Classic road race that morning so I can feel justified in eating whatever I want during the second half of the day. I love Thanksgiving, and I am grateful that my parents have decided that they are going to travel up here to the Boston area to be with me and my sister and her partner, because all of us live up here and they're the two people who live down in DC. I'm grateful for that. And I'm also grateful that we have this tradition where we gather around the table and we hold hands and we each say what we're thankful for. Maybe some of you have that same tradition during Thanksgiving. But when I was reflecting on that, in light of today's sermon, it occurred to me how often we are thankful for completely different things. I may be grateful that I had a good runtime in the race that morning. My sister may be grateful that she is halfway through the semester. My youngest sibling may be grateful that vegan tofurkey exists. My parents might be grateful that they had a good time driving from DC to here, but we're all thankful for different things. We're not really grateful as a community. We're grateful as individuals who just happen to be in the same space. And so often when I think about when I felt grateful with other people, it's that feeling where I'm grateful for one thing and you're grateful for something else, but we're not all grateful for the same thing. It is hard, I think, friends, in our individualistic society to truly think of examples where we are grateful with other people for the same thing. But that is what I love about Psalm 122. Here we have a snapshot into what it looks like to be grateful in community with other people. Now, Psalm 122 is one of those psalms where we don't know who wrote it. As many of you know, much of our psalms were attributed to King David, but this psalm has no known author. And I don't know about y'all, but it's helpful for me if I know a person's name when I'm trying to relate to them. And so for the purposes of this sermon, I propose that we call this individual Pete, because he's a pilgrim. So Pete the Pilgrim wrote Psalm 122. And in this psalm, he teaches us three things about what it means to be grateful in community with other people. First, Pete tells us that the individual needs to join a community. You need to go from yourself to something bigger than yourself. That's why I love the way the New International Version translates the opening verse of this psalm. I was grateful with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." In your New Revised Standard Version, it says, "when they said to me," but the truth is in Hebrew, the same word can mean when or with, and based on my grammatical somewhat layperson reading of the Hebrew, it seems like it's more likely that the psalmist is saying he is grateful with his friends, with the people who came and said to him, "Let's go to Jerusalem to celebrate the pilgrimage." So the first thing is that the individual must join a community. The second thing is that that community experiences something significant. The psalmist describes how they come to Jerusalem's gates and they take in the amazing sights of the city. They see King David's beautiful palace. They see Solomon's magnificent temple. But the most amazing thing they see, friends, is all these people from all corners of the Israelite nation coming together to praise God in unity. That is the thing that they see as most significant. So the individual joins the community. The community sees something significant on their pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And the third and final thing is that they respond in thanksgiving. And in this psalm, thanksgiving takes place in the form of a prayer, in praying for Jerusalem, for the people of Jerusalem, and for the buildings of Jerusalem. And I love that at the end of the psalm, Pete internalizes this experience. He says that for the sake of my family and friends, I will continue to pray for Jerusalem. For the sake of its buildings, I will continue to pray for that magnificent city. And so what Pete shows us is that in those moments when we truly experience gratitude with other people, we must move from being an individual to part of a community. That community experiences something significant, and then that community gives thanks. And as I said earlier, at least for me, it's hard to think of those examples in my own life. But I want to conclude today's sermon by offering a few examples from our culture and one from my own life about moments where you may have experienced such gratitude with other people. And I hope by sharing this that this may jumpstart your own memory so that you can find times in your own life when you were truly grateful with other people for a common cause. Now, I'll admit that I am not a sports guy, but I know that I'm in Sports City, USA in Boston. And so, of course, I have to mention that sports are often a time when people come together and feel grateful. I remember back in 2004 when the Red Sox had just beat the evil empire. Y'all know who I'm talking about, the New York Yankees. They beat the New York Yankees to go to the World Series and then trounce the St. Louis Cardinals 4-0. And that was a magnificent game because it was the first time that the Sox had won a World Series in 86 years. And not only did people in Boston rejoice, but people all over the nation rejoiced because this team that deserved to win so many times had finally won. We came together, we experienced something significant, and we gave thanks. Beyond sports, bigger than sports maybe, I think our national holidays are perhaps the closest that we as 21st century Americans get to the feelings of gratitude described in Psalm 122. Think about the 4th of July celebrations, especially in the Boston area, because y'all go all out for the 4th of July, y'all, let me tell you. And I love it that the fireworks in Boston on the 4th are such a big deal that the towns nearby Boston don't even try to compete. I love that Weymouth actually has its fireworks on the 3rd of July, so we get 48 continuous hours of celebration of the 4th. And if you've ever gone to the shore up there, you've gone to Great Hill to see those fireworks on the 3rd of July, you know that feeling of coming together with other people, seeing the fireworks, and giving thanks for our freedom, which is not something that we should ever take granted because it is not easily given to us. It is something that has been given to us through sacrifice, through sweat and toil. So sports is one way we experience gratitude, so is national holidays. But sometimes those experiences of gratitude happen in ways that you cannot plan or predict. Earlier, Ashley was talking about her experience in youth group and of camp. And there was a moment last year at camp that was just such a profound moment of connection and thanksgiving that I had to share it with y'all. It was during Vespers, which is sort of the close of day worship that we do at camp. We all gather together around a campfire. We sing a few songs. We hear an inspirational message. And then we sing the Lord's Prayer before we go to bed. And now before we had done Vespers on this night, we had played an evening game where for some reason all the youth groupers had to wear glow-in-the-dark necklaces. And so I didn't play this game. I just stood out in the field and watched. And it looked like a rave. Or it looked like something out of the video game movie Tron, just streaks of green and orange and blue running all over the place. But after we had all calmed down from the game, we gathered around the campfire for Vespers. And I'll be honest, I do not remember the message that was shared on that evening. I do not remember the songs that were sung on that evening. But I do remember this. At some point during that service, our campers began to unlink their necklaces and connect them one to another, forming these clusters of light. And then they began to connect these clusters to one another, making this long, unbroken, luminous chain of light. Imagine being in the middle of nowhere, New Hampshire, and the only sources of light are the stars above you, the campfire in front of you, and a chain of light 450 people strong. In that moment, I think we all felt connected. And more than that, we felt grateful. Grateful to be together, grateful for camp, grateful to be in nature, and grateful to God who had brought us together in that time and place. And so, friends, my challenge for you this week is to go home and reflect. When have you experienced communal thanksgiving in your own life? Where have just three moments of being with other people, when you haven't just been grateful as individuals, you've all been grateful for the same thing. When have those moments taken place? Like we learned from Psalm 122, when have you gone from being an individual to part of a community? When has that community experienced something significant, and when have you given thanks? Because, friends, as awesome as it can be for us to feel gratitude in our hearts as individuals, as much as that can add to our joys, When we are truly grateful with one another in community, it can multiply our joys. Amen.